Speaker!
Order, order.
Parliament resumes at 2 on Tuesday when the Speaker, David Carter, is likely to inform the House that the vacancy in the Northland seat created by the resignation of Nationals Mike Sabin on January the 30th has been filled. He'll advise members that the new member for Northland is New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters, winner of the by-election on March the 28th. Mr. Peters has already been sworn in as a List MP, and although there is nothing in the law to prevent one person being a List MP and occupying an electorate seat at the same time, Mr. Peters has to resign as a List MP before the Speaker can declare a vacancy and inform the Electoral Commission, and the Commission can start going down the party's list. New Zealand First had 25 names on its list for the last general election in September. 11 entered Parliament as List MPs after their party won 9% of the party vote, leaving 14 headed by Rhea Bond of Invercargill, who, if she's still willing and able, will be her party's new List MP, raising its total to 12, while National remains one down at 59. National will still have to rely on its support parties, ACT, United Future and the Māori Party, for a working majority, which it will need next week when the House votes at the end of the extra super-long annual financial review debate. Rhys Lyon reports.
Earlier this week, I spoke with Clark Assistant David Wilson.
Could you tell us a little bit about the annual review debate and what it is and its purpose?
Sure. Well, in a formal sense, the annual review debate is actually the committee stage of the Appropriation Confirmation and Validation Bill. What that really means is that it marks a bringing to the end of Parliament's annual financial cycle, which starts with the budget and the government setting out its plans for the year and asking Parliament to approve its spending. This end of it, the annual review debate, is looking back at how that money's been spent, how entities have performed, and really how they've gone in achieving government's goals. So it really is a way for Parliament to hold the government to account for its performance and its spending over the last financial year.
And we're looking at the 2013-14 year?
That's right, yeah. So shortly before we go into the budget for the next financial year, we're looking back at the previous one, which ended in June of 2014.
And things are a little bit different this year with the procedure?
That's right. So previously, there have been two separate debates, one on the performance of government departments, and then a little bit later in the year, one on the performance of other entities, such as Crown entities and state enterprises. This year, the two of them are together in one debate for a total of 9 hours. And one of the reasons for that is to do with the election, which occurred at the time when a lot of these entities would normally be reviewed. And also, because of the timing of the election, it was felt better just to put these two things together and have one longer debate looking at the performance of all of the entities towards the government's against the government's goals rather than separating them out. So the other thing that's a bit different about it this year is that rather than just debating the performance of individual entities, which is what's happened for many years, the House is going to structure the debate in themes. So it has themes around services for citizens, services to business, natural resources, justice, infrastructure, things like that, which cover the work of a variety of government agencies and also of select committees that have been scrutinising them. And the idea really is to have a debate on the government's performance against some of its key goals and in some of the areas that Parliament thinks are important to consider. So rather than, as I say, just looking at individual entities, it might look, for example, at the issues of housing and health and welfare and education altogether and what effect the government's programs in those areas have had. So that gets away, I think, from just looking at perhaps how individual departments have gone, what they've spent their money on, towards looking more at what are the outcomes that the government's trying to achieve and how's it going in achieving them.
And the Business Committee's determination to make these changes this year, is there a precedent for that, or is this the first time?
Well, the Business Committee has quite often made determinations about how business will be carried out in the House. This is certainly the widest-ranging determination it's made about financial scrutiny, and really made some quite significant changes, both in terms of timing, making the debate longer, consolidating it into one long debate, and also in terms of the subject matter, which has always been something that's been in its power to do, but recently members have agreed to try something a little bit different this year and see if that changes the nature of the debate.
And could we possibly see changes to standing orders if this goes well?
Well, we could. We'll certainly have a look at it both members and staff of the Office of the Clerk once the debate's over to see whether there are any changes or things that we could do differently in the future. Whether we need to change standing orders is another matter. Most of these things can be done by the Business Committee by itself under existing standing orders.
Clerk Assistant David Wilson speaking there.
That report from Rees Lyon. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program was made with funding from Parliament.